Good morning and welcome to the Chapel Hour. I'm aware this morning that I'm speaking to people all over the country. And yet the subject is one that every single person on the face of the earth is interested in. One that all of us pursue and few people seem to find. In the 26th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the third verse, the prophet said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And that's what I want to talk about this morning. That is our peace. Now, there are many, many goals that you and I have in life. You have a goal, for example, for your family, a goal for your vocation, for your finances, maybe spiritual goals that the Lord has helped you to set in your life. All of us have many, many goals. And yet there is one universal goal, one that every person on the face of the earth would like to achieve, and that is personal inner peace with themselves. And yet, you and I know that most people today don't really know what real, genuine peace is all about. They're clamoring for it in many, many ways. It's like a vapor. It's like a shadow. It's an illusion. It's like the end of the rainbow, always at the end of the fingertips, but somehow just beyond the human reach. And yet the Scripture says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And when you look at that simple verse, and then you look at your circumstances, and you look around you and you say, surely, God has forgotten something. Think of all the knowledge that man has gained. All of the books you and I have to read. All of the men who are preaching the gospel. All of the sermons on television, radio. All of the articles in magazines that talk about peace. And yet we have less of it in the world than we've ever had before. Less peace in the human heart than ever before. The stress, the strains, the anxiety, the tension, the violence in life. We're living in a violent society, and the very opposite of that violence is peace and tranquility and calmness, and yet we don't have that. Maybe you're going through a difficulty in your life, and you're saying, peace is what I'm looking for. If I could just somehow wrap up this inner conflict and rip it out of my heart, if I could just have surgery and have someone cut all of that out of my life, if I could take something, if I could go somewhere, if I could do something, if I could change geographically. You see, the pursuit of peace is born within man. He wants to be at peace with himself, peace with his environment. Yet you and I live in a world that knows so little about it. The world, internationally, politically, seeking peace, but there is no peace. People are going to the psychiatrists and the psychologists and their family doctors and giving all kinds of descriptions of their aches and pains. Yet deep down inside, what they really want is peace. Harmony within. Why is it that man cannot find that? Is it because something is wrong with our thinking? Something is wrong with our circumstances? Well, part of that, of course, you and I can explain spiritually. From the Garden of Eden, Satan entered into God's peaceful kingdom and disrupted that peace, and there has been conflict ever since. You and I are living in a world where two kingdoms are at war with each other, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. We're living in a society where humanism, that is, man is his own God, and the Christian forces are at war against each other. The believer says that Christ is the Lord of man's life. The humanist says man is sufficient within himself. And while the humanist seeks to find his own peace by his own manipulation of society and his circumstances, the believer knows that perfect peace is the result of a relationship and not a man's circumstances. If you recall in the New Testament, almost in every single epistle that Paul writes, he always says, "Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you." Three things that all of us need: the grace of God, the peace of God, and the mercy of God. Does he not call himself the Prince of Peace? Did he not say that you and I are to be peacemakers? Blessed are the peacemakers, he says. All through the Scriptures, he promises us peace. There's not a single book of the Bible that you're not going to find the Lord talking about peace. Peace with him, peace with ourselves, peace with others. Now, if you had to define peace, what would you say? More than likely, you would define it from your personal perspective and your circumstances. Peace, to some of you, would be the absence of the disease in your body. Peace for somebody else would be a large sum of money so you could pay off your debt. Peace to someone else would be the return of your son who's been away. Or it may be that you would have the job that you've been working toward. It could be that you'd have your husband come home. It may be that your marriage might be mended. But peace to all of us means something different. And yet, in essence, it is more than just the cessation of hostilities and disturbance around us. There's an inner quietness. There is a tranquility. There's a sense of assurance and confidence about, not circumstances, but about the inner person. And you see, there's so many people today who are so uptight. And on the surface, everything seems to be right. But you sit down and listen to that person, before long, they're saying, something's just not right on the inside. Now listen, the absence of peace is not because of your circumstances. It isn't because of what you don't have or what you'd like to have. It isn't necessarily because of the people who are around you. Because you see, in the most trying circumstances of life, you and I often experience our deepest and most realistic peace. How would you define peace? Well, regardless of what definition someone else would give you, you know when you have peace within your heart. Someone asked Stonewall Jackson, great military strategist of the Civil War. They asked him how could he have such peace in the midst of a battle when cannonballs were flying, explosions all around him, and there he stood, stalwart like a giant, with perfect peace upon his face. He said, my father cares for me whether I'm in bed or whether I'm in battle. And you and I need to remember that. That our Heavenly Father is watching over us, caring for us, surrounding us, guarding us, protecting us, providing for us. And you see, the geographical location has nothing to do with our peace. There are men in prison today who have more peace than some of you who are watching. There are people in hospitals stretched out and know that their life is coming to an end. They have more peace than some of you. Some of you have all the world's goods. And in fact, as you look at your life and evaluate it, everything you look at says, but I ought to have peace. I ought to be happy. I ought to be content. I should be satisfied. But you're not. And you see, if peace was something that the world could give, if peace were the byproduct of something that you and I possess or own, if peace were the result of a relationship with others, all of us could experience peace of some sort at some time. But there are people today, and maybe somebody you cannot remember when your heart was at rest and you were experiencing the peace that he speaks of here when he says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I think the most beautiful definition I've ever seen or heard of peace is what I saw, not what I heard. I saw a beautiful picture one day, and it was a picture of a storm. A tree, in the midst of that tree, there was a limb. On that limb was a bird's nest. In that bird's nest was the mother bird and two or three of her little baby birds. All about the tree, the wind was howling, the storm was black, the lightning was flashing, and you could just hear the thunder roll by the way the artist had pictured that scene. But in the midst of all of that turmoil, the blowing of the wind, the flashing of the lightning, the pouring of the rain, the title of that picture was Perfect Peace. In the midst of that storm, nestled in her little nest with her little babies, was the mother bird. And I could not help but think, Lord, isn't that the way you intend for us to weather the storms of life? And that is covered by your love, undergirded by your strength, surrounded by your goodness and your love and your mercy. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What is the real source of peace? A lot of folks have mistaken ideas about where peace comes from. And let's be honest. Is it not true that our society has tried everything, and most of us have tried everything there is to be tried, and only a few people know the real source of peace? It doesn't come in the bottle. It doesn't come in relationship. It doesn't come in a geographic location. It doesn't come in possessions. It comes in our relationship to our Lord. Listen to how he's begins and ends this one single verse. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That verse begins with God and ends with God. Thou, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. All peace begins with God. You see, that word means to bind something together, Do you know when we experience genuine, lasting peace? When we are bound together in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Only then do we begin to experience peace. The source of our peace, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What did Jesus say? My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All through the scriptures, what is he doing? Peace be unto you. Be not afraid. Always exchanging and transferring the fears and the frustrations and the doubts into what? Perfect peace, calmness, and tranquility. You see, the source of peace is not out there. The source of peace is within. So that whatever you're doing and wherever you're looking for peace, you must find it in a relationship. Thou will keep him, you, in perfect peace when you focus your attention upon him. So that if you're looking for peace any other place, you'll not find it. You see, all of us need to be quiet emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. But how are we quieted in a world that's so stormy? How are we quieted in a world that seems to be intent on breaking and destroying us? Only when you and I develop a relationship with the one who is the Prince of Peace, who is the one who calls himself the source of peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, what did he mean when he said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace? What kind of peace is he talking about? Well, there are two kinds. First of all, there's the peace of God. And that is the peace that you and I experience when we give up. When we say, Lord, no more fighting you. No more my will, but your will. Not my way, but your way. What happens? The conflict between us and God ceases. And the Lord comes into our life through salvation. And we begin to experience the second type of peace, which is peace with God. The peace of God comes when I yield my life to him and stop fighting against him. Stop warring against him. Stop insisting on my way instead of his way. And then when he comes into our life, what does he do? He gives us the peace, the Bible says, that passeth all understanding. The peace that passeth all understanding will guard, garrison, keep, uphold your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He is the source and the only source of genuine peace. But then he says something here that I want you to notice. He says, not only is he the source of peace, but perfect peace. That is sufficient peace. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Not as the world gives, but perfect peace. The world has its peace. Little moments, maybe this is true in your life, when you're able to forget your circumstances, just for a few moments or for the evening, somehow you have peace, but you see, that's not real peace. What you've done is substituted some of the thoughts, some of the activities to get your mind off the things that are bothering you. But peace is an inner quietness. Peace is an inner stillness. Peace is an inner tranquility that governs and penetrates every area of our life, and it's based on a relationship of faith in Jesus Christ. And you see, that doesn't make any difference any longer about my circumstances, my relationships with others, as long as he is the source of that peace. Now, he says, the peace of God, peace with God. Remember when Stephen was being stoned to death? And the Bible says they stood around and looked at a man who had perfect peace upon his face. Why? Because his relationship to the Lord was such that stones may break his body. Stones may cover his body. They may draw blood from his body. They could not break his peace. They could not penetrate that beautiful sense of tranquility and oneness and harmony that he had with God. How is it that Paul and Silas could sing sitting in the Philippian jail? Because you see, their peace was not dependent upon their circumstances, but upon their relationship to him. All of us have been through valleys. I've been through valleys just like you. The storms have come in my life just like they've come into your life. And when the Lord taught me that he and he alone was the source of my peace, then I began to be able to smile when the bottom dropped out, when the top caved in, when the sides fell off all around me. Somehow I knew and had begun to understand what he was saying. He will keep us in perfect peace. That is sufficient peace to sustain us when we focus our attention and our minds upon him. Let me ask you, Where do you have your focus today? Is it on the things that are bothering you, or is it upon the person who is the source of all of your peace? You see, perfect peace is unruffled, undisturbed. I don't believe that you could choose a more beautiful goal for your life than this, and that is to live in undisturbed union with Jesus Christ. Because you see, that's what all this is about. Perfect peace comes as a result of our union with Him. Sustaining peace, that is the peace, notice what he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, kept in perfect peace. That is, his peace is sufficient for us, and his peace will sustain us, whatever the circumstances. Kept in perfect peace if we focus our attention upon him. Now, in that 34th Psalm, he says, the angel of the Lord does what? Encampeth round about. He covers us. He surrounds us. Peace that passes all understanding. That doesn't mean that you and I cannot enjoy the peace, but it's beyond oftentimes our comprehension. When we look at our circumstances and see all the things that ought to be bothering us, and yet deep down inside we're like that little mother bird. Here we are, nestled in what? Nestled in your house? No. Nestled in your security? No. Nestled in your friends? No. Nestled in the palm of the Father's hand. And you and I know that song. He's got the whole world in his hand. Until you see yourself in the hand of an omniscient, omnipotent God, you'll never know what it means to have the peace that passes all understanding. You see, inside this morning, your heart's troubled. You're disturbed. You'd like to just brush it all away, but somehow you can't get it away. Something keeps coming back, and you'd like to push it off, and it keeps coming back, and you push it off, and it keeps coming back, and you push it off. Listen, you need to stop fighting whatever you're fighting against, and get your eyes off that and get them on him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, not who fights off the heartaches, the difficulties, the storm, the enemy of life. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace who focuses his attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who dwells in a relationship with him. And you see, his perfect sustaining peace is not wavering. It isn't peace today, hardship tomorrow, that brings about all kinds of anxiety, doubts, and fears, and frustrations, and worries. Let me ask you this. Wouldn't you really like to exchange what you're feeling for the perfect peace that passes all understanding? And I'm sure you're saying yes. Then I want to show you the pathway to that peace. It begins, listen now carefully, and you may want to jot these down. I know this works. I've been where you are. I've lost my peace at times, but I found it. And I know that any time you and I allow ourselves to drift with life and we lose our peace, there is always one place to find it. And you know what I've discovered? It's the same place every time. What is the pathway to peace that passes all understanding? Peace that sustains us? Peace that's not here today and gone tomorrow. What is it? Here's the cue. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Listen, perfect peace begins with the forgiveness of your sin. You say, but no, wait a minute. I want peace. I don't want to be religious. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about the fact that the only place and the only way you will ever find peace is to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I know what you may be saying. You may be thinking, well, I know some people who are not Christians and they have peace. No, you don't. The Bible says, listen, the Bible says there is no peace for the wicked, no rest for the wicked. You know what the Bible says about people who are living without God, living their lives in opposition to Him or just mere neglect of Him or indifference to Him? He says they're like the muck and mire that keeps churning up. It just keeps churning. There is no peace and no rest for those who attempt to live their life without God. If you want peace, it begins with the forgiveness of your sins, because here's what happens. Until you're willing to deal with your guilt, you can never have peace. Until you're willing to be forgiven of your past, to have your conscience clear, you can never have peace. All of us have experienced a stinging, aching, harassing conscience. And my friend, don't try to fool yourself. You know there's no peace until your conscience is quiet. How does your conscience get quiet? It gets quiet by the confession and repentance of your sin, by the surrendering of your life to the person of Jesus Christ, yielding your life to Him, surrendering your life to Him, and telling Him that you can't do it, you want Him to do it. If you're unwilling to bend your knee and your heart in confession, I can tell you right now, you will never, as long as you live, experience peace. Peace begins with the forgiveness of my sin, the development of a relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing is to check the focus of your attention. He says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." What are you looking at this morning? Are you looking at where you live? Looking at your circumstances? What are you really looking at? He says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed, stayed, focused upon him." You see, when you and I begin to get in the Word of God, we begin to think about the Lord, the promises of God, His love and His grace and His mercy. He begins to heal us emotionally. He heals us physically. He heals us spiritually. He says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed, stayed, established on him." But the mistake you and I make is we look at everything else but him. If you want perfect peace, there must be forgiveness, followed by change of what you're thinking about. You need to start thinking about him. And the third step is faith. Forgiveness, focus your attention upon him, and then by faith. You say, "Well, how does faith bring me peace?" Listen, when you ask him for the forgiveness of your sins, and you tell him that you've really made a mess of your life, you need him to sustain you because you cannot sustain yourself. And the Lord, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, wipes away your sin. How does he do that? By your simple trust in him. You ask him to forgive you based on the promise of his word, and he forgives you. You look to him and tell him that you want to fill your mind with his thoughts, not your thoughts. That's focusing your attention upon him. Getting in the Word of God and then trusting him every day. Not trying to figure life out. You see, you don't have to try to figure out how to get peace. Peace is the overflow. Listen carefully. Peace is the overflow of your relationship with him, of your forgiveness from him, of your faith in him, of focusing your attention upon him. Peace is a gift. Peace is not what you work up. It isn't what you manipulate. It isn't activity. It isn't actions. It isn't habits. Peace is not being religious. Peace is the overflow of a relationship of love and forgiveness with Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, wherever you may be this morning, would you simply drop on your knees if there's a place you can do that? Or it may be you are in a public place. And when this program is over, if you'll just quietly whisper to him for the forgiveness of your sin, the cleansing of your life, and that you're accepting him and your relationship with him is your peace, my friend, you'll begin to discover for the first time in your life the peace that passeth all human understanding.